Have we all missed the fun? Have we missed all the important events in history? When I was younger, I thought, I regret I was born too late because I missed all the fun. This fun I missed. This is one of the most underrated missions enterprise, started from about 5 AD all the way to 13 AD. The Nestorian Christians are Nicene Christians, even though their doctrine of Jesus' two natures were a little bit different. They were courageous missionaries. They traveled along the Silk Road. They brought Christianity to a lot of Central Asian people, even to some of the Mongol tribes. They were stationed in Baghdad. Even under the Islamic oppression, they thrived. And eventually they ended up in Xi'an, and that's a pagoda. That's not a Buddhist pagoda, it's a Christian pagoda. You know why? Because it's facing east. All the Buddhist temple or pagoda, they face west. The Christian church always face east. Okay, that's a traditional direction. I don't know about this church, but traditionally all the Christian church should face east, facing the resurrecting sun. There's this kind of image here. Okay, we miss that. Okay, and of course, we miss the crusade. The first crusade was a successful one. All the rest are failures, but nevertheless, it was a great, great enterprise to reclaim the Holy Land. We miss the Reformation. These are the engraving of the Luther's 19 Theses. Of course, when Luther was nailing the thesis, was paper. It was not these. Okay, this is the Castle Church. This is another event we missed, but I have a croissant here. Okay, people like croissant? You like croissant? Yeah. Croissant was probably the result of this war. You know, the Ottoman Empire were so strong, they were going to convert the entire Europe into Islamic faith. That was their hope. They always want to put their Greenish flag on St. Peter's Cathedral in Vatican. They never did it. So the last time they were trying to overcome Christendom was 1683. The Battle of Vienna. Ottoman Empire probably raised about 300,000 or 400,000 army, and they marched toward Vienna, trying to wipe out Vienna. Vienna is the gateway to Christendom, so if Vienna is gone, basically the Central Europe will be gone, will be all Muslim. Okay? And what happened was that there were only about 12,000 defenders inside of Vienna. So Vienna was pretty much going to be destroyed. And then there was this Polish king, Jan Sobieski, and he raised about 20,000 heavy cavalry we called winged hussars. Okay. These heavy Polish cavalry, they were armored, and also on their back, there were two wings, okay? And 20,000 of them, and they came at the right time, so they scattered, they shattered, they entire routed the Ottoman military. And after war, the Christian trying to celebrate the victory, they created croissant. Croissant is a crescent, and crescent is a symbol for Islamic faith, right? So when you eat croissant, You're eating victory. You're eating your victory. So I don't think croissant is popular in the Muslim country, but in Christian country, it is a symbol of success, symbol of victory. Now you know, okay. And the coffee was another thing, though. Next time I'll talk about coffee was also because of another war that went over the Ottoman, okay. We missed that fun. We missed that, okay. And next time, we missed this. Remember Cornwallis? The great British general, he lost the war. He thought he was He was too arrogant. He thought he was going to win. He lost the war, and thus we gained our independence. So we missed that. What about this? This is the Chinese Revolution, Dr. Sun's Revolution, 1911, and once for all toppled the Manchu dynasty and even toppled the monarchical system. So today we have republic government, at least in Taiwan. Okay. So that's a result of that. Okay. Most of us miss all the fun. Okay. All the discoveries, important discoveries were made, and most of the revolutions were done, and the great wars were fought already. So what about us? So for a while I thought, hey, I regret. I was born into a really dull and mediocrity age. What can I do to impact the establishment? It's all so established, what can we do? But I was wrong, because by God's design, today is a time that we can change the world. In this turbulent time, we need visions, we need goals. And in university campuses, they're trying to cook up some kind of missions, okay? We'll call social justice missions. They're trying to create a social justice utopia, of course. We know that utopia is wonderful, except when I enter into utopia, utopia is no longer utopia, right? Because I am the sinner, okay? And today, a lot of people are looking for a back-to-nature renaissance, back-to-nature. We thought that it's possible to get back to pristine nature if we can remove all the pollutants, pollutions. Of course, that's not going to work because I am the pollutant, right? We are the pollutant. Once we enter into a pristine, you know, nature, we're going to change it because we ourselves, we are the pollutants. So any kind of human effort that is not based on divine revelation will always. But Jesus has already given us a great mission. Okay, this mission is for then. It is also for now. So we're going to look at scripture. We're going to read today. The script may be a little bit smaller. Okay, I think. Okay, shall we all rise? Okay, and read it. Okay. Okay, let's do not lay up for yourself. Go ahead, everybody read. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay, next verse, 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are not of more importance than they, which if you, by worrying, can add one cubit of his stature. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will not Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but see first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So today, the key verse is that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, you may be seated. It's a long passage, but the point is pretty clear, I believe. So the title for today's sermon is Turn Around from What You Cannot Keep to What You Cannot Lose. Okay, actually, the Sermon on the Mount is part of repentance. Repentance means to turn around. Repentance in Hebrew simply means, it's pronounced like a shuv. Turn around, 100 degrees turn around. So for Christians who have already entered into Jesus' redemption, we still need to keep on turning. We need to keep on turning. And Sermon on the Mount is really about discipleship. For those who have already turned to Christ, we start to live a new life. We start to live with a new value. And one of the values we want to adopt is the value of Christocentric value. Christ is the center of our lives, and his mission is my mission, is our mission. And today's passage touches on money a little bit. Money is one of the most important things, not only 2,000 years ago, it is today. So today we have 5 points. Laid up yourself treasures in heaven. Second point, test yourself, you dare to be generous. Third, test yourself, you have another security source. The fourth point, reflect on the blind anxieties for life's controllability. Okay. And lastly, seek first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added to you. So the first point, okay, lay up yourself treasures in heaven. Verses 19 to 21. Now, where is heaven? Okay. Where is heaven? The word heaven, it could mean an ethereal place, but biblically, it means where God is, where God is. Okay. And God may not be up there. Sometimes God is here. Wherever God is, that's where heaven is. Wherever God is, nothing could decay and nothing could be lost. All is accounted for. So all the good deeds we did in Christ Jesus, it's accounted for, it's remembered, it's eternal. Okay. And heaven will be on earth one day when Jesus returns. The kingdom will be a three-dimensional kingdom. Why? Because we know that Jesus' resurrected body is three-dimensional. It is material. It is physical, but it's more than physical. So we know that the kingdom of God is not an abstract kingdom. It's a concrete kingdom. It is more than physical, but it cannot be less than physical. Okay, so one day, our treasure we accumulated by our faithful deeds, by our faithful service, will be rewarded in this concrete kingdom of God, which is coming pretty soon. Okay. The second point, okay. Test yourself if you dare to be generous, verses 22-23. Remember the passage you read? If you have a good eyes, you have bad eyes, talking about eyes, okay? This is a Hebraic idiom. Good eyes means you have a generous heart. Okay? When you see someone in need, and your heart is moved, therefore you give. That's called a generous eye. Okay? If you see the same need and you stop up the passion or the compassion in your heart, you don't give. You don't give alms. Okay, that's called bad eyes. So good eyes, people with good eyes are generous people. They give. And what do you give usually? You give money. Okay? You give money. Okay, so generous people will give. Okay? People with good eyes means the people with a compassionate heart, and that person will give. So how do I know I'm How do I know, okay, I'm laying up treasure in heaven? How do I know that? I know that when I give to the needy, when my heart is generous, so generous I give, that means that's a proof I'm laying up treasure in heaven, okay? And this is interesting because we all think we are Christians. We all believe that we are laying up treasure in heaven until one day we see a needy brother or sister in the church. That's a time we're being tested. If you're so generous, you give. It proves that we are laying up treasure in heaven. If not, then we're not doing that. So this is a cruel test. Okay? We do test ourselves if you are generous. Okay? Jesus sometimes is a pretty, he's not circuitous, okay? He will go straight to you, hey, are you generous or not? And the Pharisees are pretty pious people. You know, Pharisees, they're pious people, okay? But they love money, okay? And so they don't give. But they convince themselves that they are the devouts. They are the remnants. They are the religious. But the reality is that when they look at themselves, their act does not match. Their acts do not match, okay? Another test we need to test ourselves is we will test ourselves if we have another source of security. Okay. Mammon. Mammon is a powerful, the first century. Later I'm going to explain a little bit. Okay. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they were the elites in their society. Okay? They were the ones who think that they are the leaders of their community. Okay? Actually, they are the Red Party. Okay? They are the then Red Party. Okay? They believe that they are the pillars of their society. Okay? So they think they're good people. Okay? But we also know that they have another source of reality. They trust in God. They worship Yahweh, just like we do. They worship God, okay? But they have another source of security in their heart, and that security is their money, or mammon. Okay, mammon is a Syriac. It's probably a Greekized Syriac word, which simply means money, okay? But Jesus says that you cannot serve two masters. Okay? You either serve this one or you serve that one. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. Many pious Jews, they were serving two masters without knowing that they were already being disloyal to Yahweh. As long as in our heart there's another security that on a par with God, then God has a competitor in our system. God doesn't want a competitor. God is God. Okay? Therefore, if mammon becomes a competitor, then that believer is no longer loyal to Yahweh, no longer loyal to God. Same thing with us. Okay? We can ask ourselves, are we totally loyal to God? How do I test that? If there's another source of a security in my heart, and that is not God. It may be money, it may be your property, maybe your stocks, maybe your education, maybe something else. Whatever that source of security is competing with God, then we're no longer totally loyal to God. Okay? That we can test ourselves. Well, let's talk a little bit about mammon. Okay. This is a gold coin found in Pompeii. Pompeii has been under excavation for quite a few hundred years, but recently we found something new. We found more gold coins, and we found something else that's very, very interesting. Okay, we found some bones. Okay. Look at the bones. The bones appear to be greenish. It looks green. You know why? Can you guess? Why are these bones should be white or gray, right? Not greenish. It looks green, right? Look like US dollar, right? What happened was that under these bones were sacks of coins, some gold coins, some copper coins. And over the years, the rust got into the bone. So this bone appeared to be green. Okay. What can we deduce from that? So apparently, when Pompeii, when Mount Vesuvius, 79 AD, was erupting, everybody was running from the volcanic dust. And some of them run with their money. And these people apparently probably run with a lot of money. And eventually they couldn't escape. They end up, you know, in some cellar or someplace. And so their body kind of, was on top of their money. And eventually as they decay, their bone pick up the copper. So this is very interesting. I think this is symbolic to a lot of scenario we are familiar with. That is, we love money. People there at that time really care so much about their money. Okay. But money in first century was becoming more powerful. You heard a historical term called Pax Romana. Pax Romana, it means Roman peace. Okay. And it was a historian's coined terminology referring to a era in Roman Empire from Caesar Augustus all the way to Caesar Aurelius. Aurelius. About 200 years of time. That was a time the Roman Empire really thrived. It really was prosperous. Why? Because it was very peaceful. Okay. When the New Testament was written, it was right in the center of Caesar Augustus' peace. Okay. No more civil war. The entire Mediterranean Sea became an inner lake. And at that time, the the Romans were famous for building roads, right? And the Roman roads, there were a lot of roads, land roads, and also there were sea routes too, because Mediterranean became an inner lake, so a lot of times it's actually faster and cheaper to move your merchandise by ship than by, carriages or horses, on road. With this peace, really expedient transportation system, money became more powerful because between the demand and the supply, you can shorten the time. You shorten the time. Therefore, you can do more business in a given time. Okay? So, of course, money, not talking about today's monetary system, the ancient monetary system was based on gold, silver, and copper. And all these things are very, very useful because we do trade. If you use money as trade, it is so much easier, right? I know that in the Back to Nature movement, some people started to go back to the old bazaar system, meaning that you can exchange food, you can exchange your body, say with meat. You can grow your own veggie. You go to the market, you exchange your veggie with somebody else's beans. Okay, it's still possible. I know some place in Hawaii, there's a community like that. Okay? People don't use money anymore. Of course, that's very cumbersome and that's very inconvenient. So money. The monetary system really brought in a lot of convenience, okay? So money is a good thing. It is a very good thing, okay? It facilitates trade. It keeps value. It encourages a lot of economic growth. So money by itself is really not a bad thing. If you look at the scripture, we know that Apostle Paul also encouraged Christians to offer money. First Corinthians, Second Corinthians, First Corinthians. Apostle Paul says, hey, you know, every first day of the week, you should gather together money. For what purpose? To give to the needy churches, to the church in Jerusalem. And in Second Corinthians, Apostle Paul also says that, hey, you know, the more you sow, the more you harvest. Okay, and meaning that if you give money in faith to God, then you accumulate, you know, treasures in heaven. Okay, so money is a very useful commodity. Okay, and today, when we give to God, what do you give? In the old days, you need to get a cow. Okay, in the old days, if you offer a sacrifice, you have to bring what? You have to bring lamb, an actual lamb. Okay, if you're poor, you bring a pigeon, right? You have to bring actual things, and how it's very inconvenient, it's very difficult. Okay, so today when we offer to God, we offer money, because money represent value. Money is very carryable. Money does not devalue. Money is very convenient. No wonder the Pharisees, the pious Jews, they had very high view of the then mammon, because money in first century became so powerful, because the Pax Romana facilitates money to become even more useful. But by the same token, the first century church also used money to facilitate their missions. Okay? So money is not a good master, but money could be a good servant, right? Money could be a good servant. We need to use money wisely. Let's come to the last point, the fourth point. Okay, let's see. Reflect on blinded anxiety for life's controllability. Okay. Anxiety, the word anxiety, on verses 25 to 32 happened five times. So Jesus is really talking about anxiety or worry, sometimes being translated being worried. Okay. Christians do worry. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about what we wear. We worry about what we eat. But Jesus says, you don't need to worry that much. Okay? Because I never forgot about you. The Father never forgot about his children. Okay? And so in this portion, Jesus gave a few examples, like a bird in the air, you know, like a grass in a field. All these things, God kept them. Okay? And there's another thing that we need to retrack a little bit. That is, money may appear to be very powerful, okay? Because it's a very capable commodity. Okay? But what is being exchanged, what is being traded, is something that is not money, right? Money could trade for something else, right? And what do you trade with money? When we trade, in first century Palestine, there were probably five products that they trade very often, and that is incense, spice, olive oil, wine, cedar wood, and probably also fish source. Okay. I don't have the picture here, but 2019, archaeologists discovered a fermented fish factory in Ashkelon. Ashkelon is near Gaza. Ashkelon was one of the five Philistine cities. Okay, so this 2,000-year-old, fish source factory was discovered. So apparently, we know that the Romans, they love fermented fish sauce. And can you believe that? I thought they were Italian. They love garlic, but fish sauce smell really bad. It smelled like a dead body. Okay, but when you taste, it tastes really good. So apparently this was also being traded. The Palestinian or the Palestine Jews, they were using their money to do all these trades, okay? Wood, textile, olive oil, of course, wine, cedar wood, and also spice. They were making a lot of money. They were making a lot of money because of that. And why do you want to make so much money? Because you worry about tomorrow, right? Because you think that if you want to control tomorrow, I need to work hard today. So a lot of times money is not about money anymore. Money is about controllability, because we thought that with this money as another source of security, I can make sure that tomorrow I'm going to live well. So it's all about tomorrow. Okay? Today we accumulate this wealth for what? Emotionally, it gives us a sense of security. Practically, it gives us a bright tomorrow. But Jesus gave us something totally radical. Jesus says, no, you don't need to worry about tomorrow, because, well, let tomorrow worry about itself. And today is a time we invest into the kingdom of God. Jesus is radical. Okay? Jesus is saying, look, today is a time we need to invest into the kingdom of God. Today is a time that we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Today is a time we dedicate ourselves to the kingdom cause. Okay? And Jesus gave here another promise, which is, to me, is very amazing, because we know that from the book of Genesis that after Adam sinned, all the human race were what? We were cursed. We have to work really hard, because the soil is no longer as fertile as before. We have to work on the soil really hard. We have to sweat. We have to sow. We have to harvest. We have to do all the hard labor in order to survive. Okay. But Jesus says something very different here. Let me go back to the scripture a little bit. Okay. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry of saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Well, that is very different from Genesis. Jesus is saying, look, if you seek the kingdom and his righteousness first, all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Okay. I still believe in this promise. When we seek kingdoms first, okay, then God will provide for all our needs. When me and my wife, we dedicated our lives to a full-time Christian mission, at that time we were young. One thing good about being young is that you are kind of, you're not very practical. Okay? And when we dedicated our lives to the Lord, we didn't think about houses. We didn't even think about cars. We thought we were so naive. You know, our hearts were on fire because of God's love. We don't serve the Lord. We don't serve the Lord. Okay. And then, of course, you know, I remember I moved from New York to Dallas to attend seminary. So we gave away a lot of our pots, all extra things we gave away. But by the time we arrived in Dallas, we found out that, hey, we needed those extra things. Because you had to cook, you had to, you know, you had to wear things. I mean, we gave away our air conditioner, and then we found out in Dallas it was atrocious hot. So we regret, oh, I gave my air conditioner away. Okay. So, but God supplied us. God supplied for all our needs. Okay. One thing good about being young is that you allow that ideal to lead your life. Okay. To the degree you look very stupid. Somehow, being stupid, the Lord provides for all our needs. Okay? And I still believe that promise. Okay, young kids, you know, seniors, and the middle-aged people, Do you believe what Jesus said? Seek the kingdom first, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you believe that? Can you believe that? It's incredible, actually. It is incredible. Jesus giving incredible promise. It's an ironclad promise. This promise guaranteed by Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Remember Jesus said? Remember Apostle Paul says? If God gave his son on our behalf, will God withhold any good thing from not giving to us? No. God has already given the best possible, the highest price in the entire universe on our behalf. Will he withhold any good things not to give to us? Actually, this promise is ironclad. We have to test it. You have to try it. Okay? You have to try it. You're not going to be millionaire or billionaire, but you'll have sufficient. You're always sufficient to serve the Lord. You'll be having more and more resources to be able to invest into the kingdom of God. Okay? So, the conclusion is pretty simple. We didn't miss all the fun. We did not miss all the fun. Today is the time. Today is the time that we dedicate our lives to Lord Jesus. Today is the time we invest into the kingdom of God. Okay. Unaided sinners cannot produce utopia. When I was younger, I also had dreams. I thought I missed a revolution. I thought I was going to serve my country, the world. I thought if I had a chance, I want to be a revolutionist. I want to bring peace to the world. And when I became a Christian, I realized that, hey, I'm the person who disrupts peace, okay? In my family, okay? In my church, I'm the problem, okay? Unaided sinners cannot produce utopia. Forget about it. Forget about it, okay? Human beings have tried for thousands of years to create ideal society from Plato, Republic, never realized. And today we're talking about social just utopia. Forget about it, because we are the problem. Okay? As long as I'm here, there's not going to be perfect justice, okay? Unaided sinners cannot produce kingdom of God. Unaided people cannot produce utopia. Even 80 people cannot produce the kingdom of God. We are 80 people, we're Christians, right? We depend on Holy Spirit, we depend on God. Can we even produce a perfect church? We don't. Forget about perfect church. After I became a pastor, I was dreaming for a perfect church. And it turned out that I'm the reason for imperfection. The church will not be perfect. The church will be imperfect. However, the church is Christ Jesus. The kingdom of God will be perfect. Upon Jesus' second coming, they will be a perfect world, will be a new world, a new system. But saved sinners are called to abandon him or herself in this ironclad promise of provision. Today, we're called to, actually, this passage is not about money, it's about a call. Jesus is calling us to seek his kingdom first, and with the ironclad promise of provision, Jesus said, just seek the kingdom and his righteousness first. Everything will be added to you. Therefore, we can liberally invest ourselves in a kingdom course. How do we know how to handle money? Frankly speaking, I think the church should foster a generosity culture. The church could create a giving culture, but still I believe that ultimately it's the individual's decision, because when the individual is totally dedicated to the Lord, he or she will know how to handle his or her money. In other words, I'm saying that unless we dare to dedicate our lives to Jesus' calling, to the kingdom course, we probably will never learn very well how to handle the money. But once you totally dedicate yourself to the Lord, you will know how to handle your resources. Well, let's pray. Okay. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Christ Jesus. Sometimes he's brutally true. He's so challenging. He gave incredible promises. It's up to us to trust in him or not. We pray that, Lord, as we hear his word, we reflect upon the inner struggle in our heart, whether we have only one source of security or we have another source of security. Please cleanse our heart, cleanse all the refuse, so that we may have only one Lord, one God, and one cause. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Philip. You know, when I look at that and I think, I definitely have got more than enough for clothes and food. So why did God give me all that extra? And I think we're saying it's really a matter of stewardship. Do I know how to handle what God has given me and be responsible for that? So thank you for the reminder, Pastor Philip. Okay, I think we've got a couple of announcements. Sorry, I didn't ask. Is there anybody new here? Do we have anybody who's... I had to step out just now, so I didn't see... No? Okay.